The fight for the future is now. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Welcome to The War Room. My name is Savannah Hernandez. I'm really excited to be in the chair today because it's been quite a while since I've gotten to sit here and actually host the show for myself. And I was just telling our cameraman, John, before the show started that was because of all of this coronavirus news that broke out. I don't think I've hosted since last December. And it's because it's all been so overwhelming and I've been trying to keep up with all of this and understand the realities and the facts and statistics of all of these projections that we were given on death rates and infection rates of COVID-19 in America. And now that I've been following it for 4 months, I'm excited to sit up here today and get a chance to debunk all of the facts and statistics and fake hypotheticals and projections that have been fed to us in the media throughout the past 4 months of our lives. Watching America over the past 4 months, it's so crazy to see how fundamentally our country has changed and will change forever because, not because of this virus, but because of what we as Americans have allowed our government to do because of fear, because of this virus. So I'm going to get into today a lot of these projections that the medical professionals were giving us for such a long time. I'm going to get into the death rates in New York, in California. I'm going to get into the realities of what this shutdown has looked like for the average American, because the media has been so focused on everyone sheltering in place and everyone quarantining to save one another. No human life is worth more than the economy. Well, what does an economic shutdown look like? Now that we've seen the realities of coronavirus, and we've seen the realities of how many people are getting infected and dying from this, how come we're no longer making the adjustments now that we have the correct science? And why are we censoring people off of YouTube and allowing big tech and the media to manipulate our thoughts and scare us into staying inside? So we're going to be going over all of that today. I have so much news and I'm so on fire about this topic and this subject because I've gone out to protest over the past couple of months and I personally talked to small business owners who have been affected by this, small business owners who can't pay their bills, who have had to lay off employees. I've talked to people who can't buy food for their families, who don't know how they're going to pay rent, and it's heartbreaking. I've read the statistics of how suicide hotline calls are going up 300% in some states, that anti-anxiety medication usage is going up 34% nationally. We're not talking about that, and we need to be. Dr. Erickson, one of the doctors in California that recently went viral, his video was just taken off of YouTube because he defied all of the lockdown orders and shelter-in-place fears that have been pushed on Americans. So we're going to be focusing on that in this next upcoming segment. But throughout the duration of the show, I'm going to have a variety of amazing guests. I'm going to be joined by Damani Felder here at the bottom of the hour. He's also a fellow Texan. Greg Abbott earlier this week talked about how he's going to be reopening our state, thank God, this Friday. Businesses are allowed to open at 25% capacity. And I want to talk to him about what it's been like living here in Texas, under these quarantine restrictions, under these lockdowns, what he's seen personally on his side of Texas and how he feels about us reopening. And then in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Caitlin Bennett and Elijah Schaefer. That should be a really fun segment. Caitlin's currently living in Ohio, so we'll get her take on what things have been like over in her state. And Elijah Schaefer's in California, one of the strictest states for coronavirus lockdowns in our nation. So we'll get his insight. He's also been going to protests in Washington and California, and he's been talking to Americans on the street as well about the realities of what's been going on. So he will be on in the second hour. And then third hour, we will have Frank Kavanaugh on. We know that farmers nationwide are being very affected by this entire shutdown as well. Frank, being a farmer himself, maybe can give us some insight into that perspective too. So great guest list coming up. I'm really excited and on fire to be here and defend all of the protesters that are out there fighting for their constitutional rights throughout this 3 hours. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and I will see you on the other side of this short break. the War Room. My name is Savannah Hernandez. Very excited to talk with you guys today about everything that is going on nationwide with these coronavirus lockdowns and the absurdity of all of it. I really can't believe that we sat down and let the government overreach into our lives as much as they have. And we're seeing that more and more every single day. It started off with paddleboarders in California who are out in the middle of the ocean by themselves getting arrested, or people who are wanting to go for a run outside trying to get arrested by police. The police couldn't catch them, luckily. And now it's still happening every single day. I want to go to the latest clip of this in Wisconsin of two police officers who are confronting a mother on her own property. Let's go to that clip now.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
I'm Deputy Everhart with the Sheriff's Department. So are you aware that we're in a stay-at-home order right now?
Yeah, obviously.
By the government?
Yes, I am aware.
Okay, you're aware of that?
I am aware.
So I don't need to explain that to you?
No, you don't need to explain
okay,
that to me.
I can if you need me to.
Go. You can because your officer was just here 2 weeks ago.
Okay, do you need me to
And he explained it to me that you guys weren't enforcing that order.
Oh, we're about to.
Okay.
So you understand it, though?
Okay, so why are you here?
Because your daughter is going to play at other people's home, and you're allowing it to happen.
They were over here as well, so okay. Are you
and
here?
They've been talked to
okay.
about it. So
no, I understand.
You,
okay.
And so either you can acknowledge it or you can argue.
I'm acknowledging it.
Okay, stop having your kid go by other people's home.
Okay, I acknowledge it. Anything
good.
Else?
Nope, that was it. Apparently, there was some other
I acknowledged it. I acknowledged
okay,
it.
Good.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, I need your last name. Amy, what's your last name?
I'm not... Is there a reason you're asking for
I'm adding you to the screen so we can document that we had contact with you.
Is there a reason for it?
Yep, because you're
that's
violating
what,
the state order,
about.
Which is a...
If you let me finish, that's what I'm explaining to you. Because you're violating an order...
I haven't violated an order.
We're going to have documentation in our screen with your name because we're here talking to you about that you said you just acknowledged.
Okay.
So then there's documentation.
I would like to see the law that requires me to give you that information.
Thank you.
Because I haven't...
What is your middle initial?
I don't believe that I'm required to give that to you.
Why be immature and play games?
Because I believe this is harassment. I haven't done anything wrong. I went over there to get the dogs.
To interrupt
no.
a situation.
I'm upset because you told my daughter...
Home, when there's law enforcement at somebody's home dealing with a situation, that is not a time for someone to walk up and confront an officer.
I did not confront you.
What do you call that?
What do I call what? Because I came over there to get the dogs. This
Walking
is the situation.
Up to me at my
I was
squad
upset.
Me.
No, I did not
confront
that? You. I went over there to get the dogs. I asked you why you had my daughter hang up the phone when she was on the call with me. Now, I got a phone call from my daughter that she was somewhere and the police was there. Of course, my reaction is to be concerned. Do I need to come get her, or is she able to come home? I don't want her somewhere where there is the police.
She walks all over the
okay.
place all day long barefoot, so why would you have to come get her when you could see her right from
because
your porch?
Because the police are there. So are we done here?
And you can see her from
are
your porch.
Are we done here?
She shouldn't be anywhere.
Are we done here?
No, we're not.
Okay.
Your middle initial and your last name.
I'm not giving it to you. I haven't done anything wrong.
Okay.
I
Perfect.
Got it.
We got it.
Yes.
Okay.
And that'll be documented, too, that you're uncooperative.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, folks. So this video is from Wisconsin. And as you can see, you know, the first thing that I realized when I was watching this was just how rude the police officers were being to this woman on her own damn property because her kid went to go play with the neighbors. That's where we've gotten to as a country. The police are going to come to your own house and harass you because your kid is going to go play across the street. And again, this isn't the only time we've seen this type of thing. In California, in Oxnard, a 93-year-old couple were sitting on the beach and the police rode up on their horses and told them that they couldn't sit in the chairs. Not that they couldn't be on the beach, but that they couldn't sit in the chairs. I don't understand this logic, but again, our whole entire country has been fundamentally changed by this virus. And if we keep allowing police officers to come in and enforce these ridiculous measures, our way of life is never going to be back, go back to normal, which, I mean, I guess it never will, actually. I was reading this story today, too, that Costco is going to be requiring customers to wear face masks while shopping. Who knows how long that's going to be implemented for? Think about that. I was talking to a lot of my friends earlier, too, and so many of them are so afraid to go outside without a face mask. If you go out or you try to go to the store without a face mask, people are going to give you dirty looks, terrifying looks that you're such a bad person. What are you doing? Why aren't you listening to the scientists? And that's the craziest thing out of all of this, folks, is we had this culture of people who were telling us to listen to the scientists, listen to the data. And then scientists came out, or doctors came out, and they said, well, maybe the lockdown orders were a little bit too drastic. But no, now those same exact people who are telling you to listen to the scientists and the doctors don't want to listen to the scientists and the doctors. And I have this clip. I watched the full hour of those doctors, again, now deleted off of YouTube because you're not allowed to hear any dissenting opinions. You're not allowed to hear anything on YouTube that isn't going to strike fear in your heart and soul and make you want to sit down in your house and cower down and listen to the government. You're not allowed to hear that at all on YouTube. But I listened to this full 1 hour clip and I clipped out this important piece because right now a lot of people are trying to attack these doctors and say that their math was flawed, that they're not credible, that they have no idea what they're talking about. Who are they to speak out against Dr. Fauci, the top immunologist in all of America? But I think they give a pretty good explanation in clip 12. So let's go ahead, or actually, apologies, in clip 15. So let's go ahead and go to that clip now.
So when coronavirus was, we've been studying coronavirus since the 70s. And this type of coronavirus that came out was first and foremost transmissible through human beings, and that was new. And I think any time you have something new in the medical community, I've been a doctor for 26 years. Anytime you have something new in the community, the medical community, it sparks fear. And I would have done what Dr. Fauci did, so we both would have initially. Because the first thing you do is you want to make sure you limit liability and limit deaths. And I think what they did was brilliant initially. But, you know, looking at theories and models, which is what these folks use, is very different than the way the actual virus presents itself throughout communities. And there's different communities we're talking about here. Bakersfield, a lot more widespread than Manhattan. Very, very different. So you can't really, theory and reality are not always the same. And that's what Dr. Erickson is presenting. It's not about being right or wrong. Medicine, what they teach us is you practice medicine. I'm learning every day. So is Dr. Erickson. We all learn every day. It's not about being right, who's wrong. It's not a basketball game, who made the basket, who didn't. It's about looking at trends and saying, hey, we're not seeing what they've been talking about for the past 6 to 8 weeks. We've crippled the economy. There's a lot of domestic issues going on. Is social isolation warranted for the healthy?
So, of course, this is an hour long. You can't find it on YouTube, but you can find it on Band.video. So I'd highly recommend you go and watch this because, again, these doctors are giving the perspective not of fear-based, but of how microbes are actually spread, how the human body builds up an immunity to diseases and viruses. They show that side of things. They explain why sheltering in place isn't good for you. And they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to give their opinion. Let's all remember when Ezekiel Emanuel said that 100 million people could have COVID-19 within a month. He was off by about 99 million. Yeah, that's a lot of people, y'all. So how come no one's attacking him for those statistics? I was talking about Ezekiel Emanuel. He's this highly respected doctor here in America, and he was one of the originals to give us these projections and hypotheticals of how many Americans were going to be infected or potentially die from the coronavirus, how long we needed to be locked down. And I wanted to give you the exact number. So on March 27th, he said that the number of cases of coronavirus were doubling every 3 to 4 days, which means that we'll have 100 million people who have COVID-19 in about 4 weeks. Someone did the math, and he was off by 99,111,291 people. That's how much he was off in his projection of how many people were going to get coronavirus. And he also, based off of those projections, said that we may need to stay locked down for 18 months until there's a vaccine for this. But of course, nobody is focused on any of these. And remember, too, when the doctors were telling us that 2.2 million people were going to die and then just slowly started lowering that number of death rates when they realized that we shut down the entire economy for no reason because that was grossly overly exaggerated. Or are we all just going to ignore that? And of course, I am focused on these statistics because we know that those doctors were censored off of YouTube for coming forward and saying that lockdown is ridiculous. And I was reading a lot of the pieces that came out about them, trying to debunk them, dispute them, say why they were wrong, why they were dangerous for America, why they deserve to be censored. And apparently a national physicians group came out and said that their statements were reckless and untested musings. They talk about how they released biased, non-peer-reviewed data. And at the end of this article, they say the two say they have their own statistics that show COVID-19 is similar to the flu. However, in that video, they actually use CDC statistics to compare coronavirus to the flu. And this is a little graph that I like to bring up a lot of the times when it comes to flu statistics, because again, folks, if we are going to stay inside and cover our face with masks forever because of the amount of deaths we're currently seeing or the amount of infections we're currently seeing, as of today, the U.S. has surpassed 1 million coronavirus infections. Well, this graph is from the CDC. From October 1st, 2019 through April 4th, 2020, there have been 39 million to 56 million flu illnesses or infections. How come we didn't shut down for that? Up to 26 million people visited the doctor for the flu. Up to 62,000 people died from the flu. Up to 740,000 people went to the hospital for the flu. How come we didn't shut down for that? If you are going to be so scared of the coronavirus, then you need to apply your own same logic to the flu and never leave your house. I'm so tired of hearing people say that the people protesting on the street are selfish, individualistic people who simply want a haircut or to get their hair dyed. Because that's not true. If you actually go out on the street and talk to Americans who are out there, who are sacrificing time out of their lives to be out in the hot sun to protest this overreach of the government, again, you'll hear the stories of how they cannot pay their bills, how they don't know what they're going to do once their back payment of rent all comes in at once. People who are furloughed, people who are scared for their families. No one cares about them. The last time I looked at it, 26 million people in this country didn't have a job. And it was this statistic that really hit it home for me. During the Great Depression, it was 43 months long. We hit an unemployment rate of 20%, which led to 40,000 suicides. During the Great Recession, which was 18 months long, we hit an unemployment rate of 10%, which led to 10,000 suicides. The coronavirus shutdown has been going on for 2 months, and we're already at a rate of 20% unemployment. Probably even higher than that, because all of the unemployment phone lines and servers are so backlogged that people can't even apply. People can't even get checks. So that's what's going on in this country right now. I was looking into all of these stats as well of people who are at food banks, some saying they wait in line up to 5 hours at a chance to get food. Surveys are going around of people, you know, how long can you last in quarantine? Are you suffering anxiety? And a huge number of people are saying that they're suffering from loneliness, anxiety, depression, If you look it up right now, anti-anxiety medication went up 34%. Like I had said previously, suicide hotline calls, 300% uptick in some areas. And in Los Angeles as well, they saw 75 times normal what they would normally see during their suicide hotline regular day, which is so sad. How come those lives don't matter? It's beyond me. And every single time I see somebody on Twitter tweeting about how protesters outside are COVIDiots, no, you're the idiot. You're the one that is scared and inside based off of faulty science, statistics, and data that have been debunked. I was talking to one of my friends and they were like, oh, well, the hospitals are overrun. No, they're not. We never even ran out of ventilators. But we in America are so impatient that the media spits out a headline and in the 0.2 seconds it takes for us to read it because we refuse to read 10 paragraphs into where the facts are, our whole minds are made up and we're convinced that the sky is falling. So, you know, a lot of people like to say that the media is the biggest enemy of the people. No, the American people are their own biggest enemy because they don't have the patience. They don't have the common sense or critical thinking to read throughout a news story themselves. I remember New York Post put up a headline that said 18-year-old, first teen to die from coronavirus. Four paragraphs in, they didn't die from coronavirus. They just had it when they died. Also, they had cancer for 2 years. Oh, okay, great. This is something we've seen from the media for the past 4 months, and I really hope people wake up because if you're still inside your house right now, you're still wearing a mask, and you're still so afraid of the coronavirus that you don't even want to go out and eat for the next 6 to 12 months, you're the one that's misinformed. You're the one that hasn't been keeping up with the actual information. You're the one that probably hates Donald Trump so much that instead of doing your own due diligence, you let the media think for you. And I'm so tired of all of the selfish and individualistic people that are in their houses right now, still collecting a paycheck because they could work from home, calling protesters idiots. I'm done with it. I'm so tired of people talking to me about it, and this is my breaking point with it, because I've looked at the unemployment rates. I've looked at the realities of what happens when this many people lose their jobs. I've watched all of the interviews of people crying because they can't feed their families. I've, again, suicide rates rising. No one gives a damn about those people because they don't have coronavirus, because that's not sexy enough for the media. So people really need to start waking up and doing their own research. Because if you're really in your house right now, you look like a damn fool. Sorry to go off on that rant, guys, but I just feel so black-pilled lately. And I really do hope that after all of this, the average American person does realize that the government took advantage of this whole entire situation and used it to reach into every individual American's personal lives and freedom and infringe upon them. Okay? If you're so scared that you're still in your house right now, go look up anything that I just looked up for yourself. Yeah, for yourself. And research it, because I guarantee your mind is going to be changed.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
We're back and I'm going to calm down because I now have a guest. So excited to have Damani Felder joining me this segment and next. He is also living here in Texas. So I thought, you know, who better to get on to talk about coronavirus in our great state of Texas than a fellow Texan himself. So Damani, how are you doing and how has life been for you over there in Dallas with all of these coronavirus lockdowns?
Yes, Amanda. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. You know, life has been good. I've tried to maintain my sense of normalcy as best as I could. I see a lot of, you know, paranoia, for lack of a better word, out and about in the city. And it's really unfortunate, though, to see how quickly those rights that, you know, we do hold dear were slowly pulled back. I know not just in Dallas, but also out in Laredo, they actually enforced a ban of or a fine of $1,000 if you were outside without a mask. Mm-hmm. Dallas floated the idea, then struck it down. And I wasn't going to wear a mask anyway. I still have not worn a mask once since this whole thing started.
Donnie, same. I did not want to do it. I think I had to go to Walmart one time, and I was pissed the whole time I wore my mask. I was like, I don't want to be wearing this. I hate this.
Well, it's a point of pride for me. And another thing, too, is I remember a few years ago, celebrities were wearing safety pins on their outfits when they were going to one of their, you know, elitist parties or whatnot. And it was to show solidarity with, you know, disadvantaged groups of people. It was basically an outward manifestation of their distaste for the border wall. And I see that same mentality being manifested here. And it's almost like wearing this mask is this the ultimate symbol of virtue signaling in 2020. Anyone who doesn't, you know, is subject to being shamed or called out in public for just going about their everyday business. And let's be honest, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, the Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And just seeing how willfully people are submitting themselves to this this paranoia. I mean, yes, the virus is real, but the way you respond to it says a lot about you as an individual. And I'm not one of those people who's going to, you know, go along with the flow. So I'm actually really happy that, you know, the state's about to open up again. I think it's important that we get back to work as soon as possible. But it's just really sad to see how many people are just willing to just roll over to the establishment or to the tyrannical government as they continue to flex their muscles on the American people.
Definitely. And I think you made a really good point about the masks as well. And the way that I view them is it's just feeding into the hysteria, like you had pointed out. You know, by wearing a mask, I feel like it just stokes more fear of, does that person have coronavirus? Can they infect me? That's really what it looks like to me when I, not when I see someone, but I feel like that is the mentality that we're continuing to push by forcing people to wear these masks. And, you know, a lot of people have talked too about how it is an infringement upon each person's constitutional rights for the government to force you to wear a piece of clothing. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about just the government overreach that we've seen, not only here in Texas, because I feel like we have seen it a little bit, but all over the nation?
Yeah, it's just crazy to see things like the things that were written in George Orwell's book 1984 really come to life. And it is that herd mentality that a lot of leftist politicians really are playing on right now. And it goes back to that weird lie that the government's supposed to take care of you and they have your best interests at heart. America was founded on the principles of individualism and basic human freedom. And that is the freedom to do as you choose, obviously within reason, of course, without injuring anyone else. But we're seeing this coronavirus being used as a cover to strip us away from those rights that, you know, have made us unique and have made us a place that people will want to come to. They will come here by any means necessary just to be here in the country. And now we're willing to let our own rights just, you know, evaporate just because of a virus that has a, what is it, less than 1% morbidity rate, depending on which chart you look at. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And we did discuss, too, how we're finally opening up. Do you think that we should be at a 25% capacity for opening up, or do you think that Greg Abbott should allow businesses to open up 100%? And also, do you think that the stores will be busy this Friday, or do you think that people are going to be more apprehensive?
You know, I don't know. I think it's going to be a mix of both. I think some people are going to be a little more apprehensive, but I also think that where we're at, you know, as a state, you know, as a country as well, is at some point someone has to take a stand and say, you know, we're willing to be one of the first movers in this space. There is some risk associated with that. But, you know, the cure can't be worse than the disease. And that's what Trump has been saying on and on and on. And seeing how many people have been disadvantaged by this virus, it comes to a point where it's like, okay, well, something has to give. And if that means 25%, you know, 25% is going to put food on the table for somebody who's a server or somebody who's in the service industry. So for me, I think it's the best compromise you could strike. But I don't think it's going to be extremely crowded just yet, because I think people have been so, you know, inoculated, for lack of a better word, to the mainstream media's fear-mongering propaganda. It's just a shame. But I'm glad that we are opening up to some degree.
I definitely agree with you there, Damani. And I mean, throughout this whole entire process, just because, so I was originally interested in this because I went and reported in Hong Kong, so I already had an interest in China. So when this broke out over there, I was like, okay, well, let's start following this because, you know, back during the SARS pandemic, when that all broke out from China, we saw what happened with that. So I was like, well, this looks like a similar situation. Let's see how this is going to develop. Let's see what's going to happen. And one of the craziest things to me was seeing the media completely shift towards spreading Chinese propaganda throughout the U.S. And it's crazy to me because during the Hong Kong protests, they did the same exact thing where they were reporting on the Hong Kong protest as, pro-democracy. The reporters were on their side. And then China got mad because the Houston Rockets manager said, I'm pro-Hong Kong. And then China was like, okay, well, you guys aren't allowed to play basketball games over here anymore. And we're taking millions of dollars out of the NBA, basically. The media then started to shift. LeBron James came out and said he loved China, that they were great. Then the media started to shift and say that the Hong Kong protests were anti-government protests. So I saw that same exact shift about the coronavirus. It was very, Wuhan virus, coronavirus from China. And then it shifted to, this is not China's fault. If you blame China or talk about China in reference to coronavirus, you're a racist. What was your experience, I guess, seeing the media shift and defend China and all of this? What do you think about all of that?
I have no problem saying this virus came from China. That's where it came from. And it's important to be mindful of that. And it's also important to realize that the average person, unfortunately, does not know the depths to which China sank in order to obfuscate the situation. There's so much information that we were not initially made privy to, and that has resulted in, a catastrophic loss of life across the entire globe. But to see the mainstream media take China's side, it's wholly unsurprising, but very disappointing, because we've known for a long time now, they've made their bias very clear. And just seeing how willing they are to let America fall under the auspices of political correctness or under the auspices of globalism or whatever term you want to use, it's just very disheartening. But it's also invigorating in another sense, in that we all need to start rising up and calling them out by any means necessary, whether that be on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, I don't care, wherever. Because let's be honest, like, we the people, we have to be the news now, because the news has thrown off any pretenses of actually being objective and reporting the facts as they happen.
Right. And just watching the press conferences with Trump has been crazy. And, whether you love or hate President Trump, the media has been so unfair to him. I definitely haven't been 100% the biggest fan of how he's handled things. But of course, he's taking it day by day as well. And he's trying to figure this out as things go along. How do you feel President Trump has handled this whole situation? What do you think he could have done better, or what he's done really well on in terms of coronavirus response?
Sometimes I think Trump does kind of, step on his own tongue here and there. But he is a human. And the problem with our perception of the presidency is that for whatever reason along the line, we began to equate the presidency with being some sort of infallible individual. Like President Trump, he's in his 70s. He's up there standing at a podium for hours every day for over a month now, it is, almost every day. I don't know many people who could do that. And so if he misspeaks here and there, yes, those misspeakings are taken out of context usually, and they're usually pushed to the forefront of whatever happened. But we have to bear in mind that his foremost goal, as stated, is to protect the American people. And I think that what he has done so far has been instrumental in helping keep us safe and from further disrepair.
All right, Damani, we'll be right back on the other side of this short break. Again, by Damani Felder. You guys can follow him on Twitter at the Damani Felder, or YouTube, the Wright Brothers. I would highly recommend following him because he puts out some pretty hilarious videos. He has some coming out fairly soon, so go and check him out, folks. He's one of my favorite people on Twitter, and I can guarantee you he's going to make you laugh. Before we get back to Damani, however, I do want to say thank you to all of our listeners. You guys are really the ones that keep us on air and allow us to stay here and get out the information that you're not going to get from the mainstream media. So I would highly recommend you guys go to InfoWarsStore.com because we have a lot of really great specials going on right now. X2 is back in stock and it is currently 50% off. This is a supplement that I have personally taken and it did help me a lot with mental clarity. I'm so bad about taking supplements. So when I finally did get on this and start taking it, I really saw a difference in my life, in my health, in my mental clarity. So highly recommend that. Also, the Vitamin Mineral Fusion, if we can get that pulled up in time, I will let you guys know how much of a sale we have on that. But that's a great product because you have so many vitamins and minerals in there. If you're like me and it's hard for you to keep up with, you know, all the supplements we should be taking in our everyday busy lives, that's a great product because it's going to have all of that wrapped up for you in one nice little delicious package. So go check that out at InfoWarsStore.com. But again, I'm joined by Damani Felder. He and I were talking about how Greg Abbott is reopening Texas on Friday. Thank the Lord. I'm glad that we don't live in Virginia, Michigan, California, some of these other crazy states that have been implementing some pretty draconian laws. But something did catch my attention on your Twitter, Damani, that I did want to talk to you about. And it's this New York Times article that says, can estrogen and other sex hormones help men survive COVID-19? Now, we know that, of course, the coronavirus is the number one biggest threat to all of humanity and life. So the New York Times is doing some research on how they can protect men. So, Damani, talk to us about this article that you shared.
Yeah, I was incredulous when I first saw the article. You know, if the goal of a lot of people, you know, the elites is to make men more effeminate, at least be subtle about it. Now it's in your face. They're saying, hey, take estrogen. We want you to be docile, because they know that men who are docile are the ones that are easiest to control or to, you know, conquer, if we're talking about, you know, medieval terms. So it wasn't surprising to me. It's just every time I think I've seen it all, it just the bar just gets lowered that much more. And, you know, I don't think I don't understand why that was even shared in the first place by the New York Times. But it's interesting to note that Cedars-Sinai was the medical center that they referenced. And that was the same medical center that actually had some other research about the coronavirus itself. And but the articles about their other research with the coronavirus, those were suppressed so that this article could rise to the top. Men, don't take estrogen. Men, it's okay to be men. It's okay to be masculine. You know, God made you that way for a reason. And, you know, I'm proud of who I am. And there's no need to try to alter yourself in any way to try to fit more into this agenda that we're seeing being pushed specifically on the men in this country.
Definitely. I remember at the beginning of this, I was seeing so many stories about how coronavirus adversely affects women. And it's a nightmare for feminists because they were basically set back years. And it's so funny, though, because, of course, everyone was ignoring the facts and the statistics that men, for some reason, were more highly infected by the coronavirus. You know, none of that's ever focused on. It's always just, how is this worse for women? How is this harder? Because we're women and we're living through the coronavirus. And now we're seeing these studies coming out saying that men should be injected with estrogen. What is going on? I don't even understand. Like, somebody, what is really going on in these streets? I can't handle it anymore. I feel so black-pilled lately. I'm just like, what has society become?
Well, isn't it weird how one of the main focuses around any major phenomena like this virus or anything in general is always, okay, well, who does it affect more? Oh, well, this virus affects more black and brown people, so this virus must be, you know, must be racist. I mean, it's like, can we stop for a second and realize what this is? A virus does not, it cannot discriminate. It just can't. It's an inanimate object. It's expelled through the air. So when you think about what the real focus is, it's about how can we exploit this real issue to further deepen the divide, whether they be male versus female, black versus white, you know, legal immigrants versus illegal immigrants. The list goes on and on. And it's just, we're always in this constant scrum to show who is the most aggrieved, who is the most oppressed, and who we should feel the most sorry for because of this new phenomenon. I just don't buy into that. I can't.
And, you know, you made so many good points because I knew I had to host today, Damani, and I always get nervous before I host every single time. I don't know why. And so I'll, like, you know, pre-think of the points that I want to make. And you talking there reminding me of a lot of the things that I was thinking about. And one of those things is that, yeah, it is so ridiculous that the media and politicians are using the coronavirus to further divide our country. And I was thinking about how, you know, from 2016 to 2019, we were so divided by who hated Trump and who liked Trump. That was the big division. But now we're seeing an even what I would say is a deeper divide, because now this is division even in the conservative side of things of coronavirus. You know, that's added to this year's political atmosphere as well. And you talk about how coronavirus is, it doesn't discriminate. I was thinking about this as well. And you know what? It's so funny because we don't want to reopen the economy right now. Well, you know what else doesn't discriminate? Bills, rent. That doesn't discriminate against anybody. So we're all being affected by that. So how come we're not focused on those statistics as well of those communities? How come no one cares about those people who can't pay their rent?
And you know what's weird about that, too, is, you know, if this virus was so highly communicable and so deeply infectious, you know, why aren't all these essential workers who are out there on the front lines getting sick? If it was as overblown as they're making it out to be, then we would see a lot more deaths on those front lines. But we're just not simply seeing that. And I think the unrest that we're seeing with a lot of Americans who do want to get back to work to provide for their families is just the fact that, you know, the proof is not in the pudding. The numbers aren't adding up. We were given numbers saying that, oh, well, there's going to be 2 million deaths. And, you know, now the numbers, you know, aren't even close to 100,000 for the United States. So are we going to thank President Trump for, you know, saving millions of lives? Oh, no, we can't do that because orange man bad. This virus is racist. It's out to get you. And you need to live in fear, wear a mask, play dress up, virtue signal, and shame anybody who doesn't play along with the game. Yeah, I don't do that.
See, and my favorite part about all of this, too, is just how bad Trump has been. When he was originally the first person to even suggest closing the borders to China, back then, Joe Biden was saying that that was xenophobic. That was not something that we should be doing. And Trump was the one that closed those borders off. But where's his praise then? We had Nancy Pelosi at that point. We had Bill de Blasio even going and saying, oh, go to the movies, go to Chinatown, go out in your environments. Everything's fine. Look what happened now. And of course, they're trying to backpedal on all those comments. No one ever praises Trump for the fact that he did take those early measures to try and quell this virus as much as he could. It's more, you know, all we've seen in the media is, oh, Trump knew about this sooner. He could have done more. When he was trying to do more a couple months ago, y'all were attacking him for that, too.
It's anything positive that Trump does will be spun negatively. And what's really sad about that is that we're talking about actual lives here. I understand political bias or political sides of the aisle, but you're talking about actual people losing their lives, and you're more focused with pinning blame on someone who was demonstrably more active than many of his Democrat peers, and you're going to blame him for what's going on? Like, why not turn and blame the people who have let their cities fall into disrepair to where this disease can flourish and spread rapidly? Why not talk about, you know, the people who are disadvantaged, you know, the people who are out on the streets, who have a higher chance of possibly getting this virus because they're not properly taken care of. Everything is just about taking care of your political side if you're a Democrat. And if that means people die, I mean, you know, Bill Maher, he said, you know, a couple of years ago, he's like, if it means a recession, you know, people get hurt, so be it if it gets Trump. And that's the manifestation of their attitude towards him, towards people who love this country and towards people who want to get back to work in general.
You know, and you mentioned the homeless. I follow Courtney Holland on Twitter, and she made a really interesting point. She said, how come we haven't seen thousands of homeless dead throughout all of this? Many live together in camps, and there is no way they are practicing social distancing, wearing masks, or washing their hands. Really makes you wonder. And I'm just glad that people are starting to wake up to these things now and starting to put two and two together and realizing, yeah, how come the homeless aren't dying at mass rates? How come we're not seeing bodies of homeless people just, you know, strewn on the side of the street if coronavirus was so infectious? So I'm glad that people are finally waking up to the fake statistics and projections that led to our economic shutdown. Damani, in these last 30 seconds, talk to people about the next video you have coming out and where people can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at TheDamaniFelder, on TikTok at TheDamaniFelder, and on Instagram at TheDamaniFelder. YouTube is The Wright Brothers. I've got a new video, a hard-hitting video on the mainstream media. Highly recommend it. It'll be coming out on Saturday, and a new TikTok video coming out on Saturday as well. So just look for that. Y'all stay encouraged, and we'll get through this together. Thanks for having me, Savannah.
Thank you so much, Damani. All right, y'all, on the other side of this short break, we will be having Caitlin Bennett coming on. I'm very excited. She's going to be on for the full hour. And then at the bottom of the hour, Elijah Schaefer will join us, and all three of us will talk news, coronavirus, of course, and everything else in between.
The fight for the future is now. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
You know, one of the most articulate and well-spoken people that I know is Greg Reese. He's one of my favorite reporters, and every single piece that he puts out is a masterpiece. And When the video of the doctors that has now been deleted initially came out, he was, of course, one of the first people to put out a boil down highlighting all of the great things that they said. And since it was banned, we're going to play it for you here. Let's go to that now.
After testing thousands of people in their county for COVID-19, doctors Dan Erickson and Artin Massini, owners of Accelerated Urgent Care in Bakersfield, California, held a press conference to share their data along with official CDC data. Dr. Erickson reported that hospitals in California have become empty as a result of allotting all resources to the COVID-19 pandemic.
The hospitals, their ICUs are empty, essentially, and they're shutting down floors. They're furloughing patients. They're furloughing doctors because we just don't have the volume. So we're busy with paperwork for COVID, and we're all focusing on COVID.
He then went over the COVID-19 numbers for the state of California.
We've seen 1,227 deaths in the state of California. That means you have a 0.03 chance of dying from COVID-19 in the state of California.
And for the state of New York,
19,410 out of 19 million people, which is a 0.1% chance of dying from COVID in the state of New York.
And then compared these numbers to the seasonal flu in 2017.
45 million total cases in 2017 with about 62,000 deaths, or a 0.13% chance of death from flu in the United States. So the lethality of COVID-19 is much less.
He then went on to report what is happening as a result of the shutdown and millions of hardworking people losing their jobs.
Child molestation is increasing at a severe rate. We could go over multiple cases of children who have been molested due to angry family members who are intoxicated, who are home, who have no paycheck. These things last a lifetime. This isn't about a seasonal flu. These are things that will follow these people and affect them in a negative fashion for their life. And these are for me talking to ERs, talking to my doctors, and talking to people across the country and finding out what they're seeing. Spousal abuse, alcoholism, anxiety, depression, suicide.
One of the most interesting moments of the press conference was when Dr. Erickson went on to explain the immune complex and how our immune system regularly adapts to our environment.
The immune system is built by exposure to antigens, viruses, bacteria. When you're a little child crawling on the ground, putting stuff in your mouth, viruses and bacteria come in, you form an antigen antibody complex, you form IgG, IgM. This is how your immune system is built. When you take human beings and you say, go into your house, clean all your counters, Lysol them down. You're going to kill 99% of viruses and bacteria. Wear a mask, don't go outside. What does that do to our immune system? Our immune system is used to touching. We share bacteria, staphylococcal, streptococcal bacteria, viruses. We develop an immune response daily to this stuff. When you take that away from me, my immune system drops. As I shelter in place, my immune system drops. You keep me there for months, it drops more. Sheltering in place decreases your immune system. And then as we all come out of shelter in place with a lower immune system and start trading viruses and bacteria, what do you think is going to happen? Disease is going to spike. And then you've got disease spike amongst a hospital system with furloughed doctors and nurses. I've been working with some of the leaders, and we're all in agreement. But we need to have Governor Newsom in agreement with us to lift this ban, because the data is showing us it's time to lift. So if we don't lift, what is the reason? They are using this to see how much of their freedom can they take from you. And will you roll over and stay in your house? And it's working. Let's avoid all that. Because if you stomp on our freedoms, that has one ending, and it's violence.
All right, if you want to watch that full video, go to band.video, and it's all up there for you folks. I would highly recommend you download it, share it on YouTube, do what you can, because it's great to have dissenting opinions and difference of thought, so we need to get the word out. Back, folks. Savannah Hernandez, sitting in the chair for the rest of the day with you. I've been talking a lot about coronavirus for the first hour, and I think I need a little bit of a break. And I'm bringing on my next guest, Caitlin Bennett. So I think she and I should talk about something extremely serious. Caitlin, I hope you're ready for this topic because it's really in-depth, and I think we really do need to talk about the threat that is Joe Biden to Donald Trump this upcoming election. Yesterday, he had a live stream with Hillary Clinton, and it was amazing, to be quite honest. Let's just play B-roll of some of the sites that were seen, some of the things that were said in clip four as we discuss Joe Biden and the greatness that he is. I'm just really worried about Trump, to be quite honest, in this coming November. But this is Joe Biden yesterday with Hillary Clinton falling asleep a little bit throughout the broadcast. Let's pipe in a little bit of audio.
So for me, this is a moment that we need a leader, a president like Joe Biden. I also know a lot about Joe, the person. I've seen him up close and personal now for many years. We have a lot of the same values in common, the same work ethic, the same belief in America, the same, you know, focus on family. And we share.
Yes, Hillary, go off, queen. I just love Hillary and Joe Biden so much, to be quite honest with you. And just watching this piece of art. Caitlin, how is Trump going to compete in November? What are we going to do about
Joe Biden? Well, he can't. Trump should just drop out. He should just stop being president. He should impeach himself and then remove himself. I don't know how Trump is up there taking care of business every single day, knowing in the back of his head that Joe Biden is right on his tail in the polls and surpassing him in the polls. Then he's going to have to compete against someone as bright and brilliant and kind and such a wonderful man towards women. If I were Trump, I wouldn't even want to compete. I'm sorry, Trump. I've been a lifelong supporter here, but you have no chance. You have no chance.
Honestly. And, you know, everything that Joe Biden says is just so articulate, concise, and overall brilliant. I'd like to our viewers to listen to one of my favorite quotes by Joe Biden in clip five.
The administration has been critical of the way you were when you were vice president. We're dealing with China. I guess I want to ask you, do you think that this is going to, in fact, be a major issue? And are you vulnerable on this issue at all because of your son's business dealings in China?
No, I don't believe so at all. My son's business dealings were not anything with everybody that he's talking about, not even remotely, number one. Nothing to do with me, number two.
Oh, Joe Biden, so concise, so articulate in everything that he talks about all the time. Anyways, Caitlin, okay, all jokes aside, I do want us to discuss Joe Biden and November in 2020. And of course, the Tara Reid accusations. We've seen them come out. On the conservative side, we haven't wanted to do the same thing that the leftists did to Brett Kavanaugh with Christine Blasey Ford with the Tara Reid story. But, you know, the more and more that comes out about Tara Reid's story, the more credible it seems to be in terms of, you know, her talking about it, having sources that corroborate her story. What do you make of the allegations? And do you think that it's going to hurt Joe Biden's campaign?
So I'm going to answer your last question first. I don't think it's going to hurt his campaign because the left simply just doesn't care about this type of stuff when it's not a Republican. They don't care. Her Tara Reid's friend already said, yeah, she's telling the truth, but I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. And then Hillary Clinton, people were up here laughing, saying, oh, Hillary Clinton, of course, she's going to go on with Joe Biden and endorse him and everything. Of course she is. Of course, that's the woman that the Democrats look up to. She covered up for her husband. Of course, she is not going to care what Joe Biden did. And I think it's very ironic when we have these celebrities who wanted to just completely bombard Kavanaugh, his family, his wife, his kids, absolutely blame him without any evidence. And then they're sticking up for Joe Biden. I believe Joe Biden. I thought we believed all women, unless it's a conservative person. So It sucks, but I'm not surprised. I don't think any right winger, anyone for that matter, is surprised. But you do bring up a good point that we can't be like the left and just blame somebody, not even just for optics sake, but because it's wrong. So we have to make sure there's an investigation. We have to dive into this and make sure everything is straight. We have all the facts before we go accusing somebody of that, because far too often men are accused of these things for the wrong reasons and for to have control over them. So I do feel for all men because they are oftentimes blamed for things that they didn't do because women are just nasty.
And, you know, speaking of nasty women, one of my favorite people to watch throughout this whole Tara Reid allegation process has been one of the most outspoken people for the Me Too movement, someone who was at the forefront of the Kavanaugh hearings, someone who was the original Believe All Women activist, and that is our dear friend Alyssa Milano. I actually found these tweets. So, you know, back in 2017 when the Me Too movement was hot and Brett Kavanaugh trials were going on and it was just Believe All Women no matter what, Alyssa Milano put out this tweet basically, you know, zero tolerance. If we don't hold all accountable for horrible behavior, nothing changes. And she's referencing Al Franken here. She said that you should not be in a position to represent your female constituents in your state. And she's responding to another woman's Me Too story. So that's her stance, right? Zero tolerance in 2017. Well, let's flip to 2020. Alyssa Milano now, in terms of Joe Biden and his Me Too moment, says, I just don't feel comfortable throwing away a decent man that I've known for 15 years in this time of complete chaos without there being a thorough investigation. What do you think, Caitlin?
Are you shocked? I don't think anyone is shocked. And it's awesome and very telling that she would sit there and say, someone I've known for 15 years. So for the Democrats, they have to have a, they can't look at men as human beings and people who deserve respect and the right of law in this country and to go through the court system and investigations. They don't look at men as the same unless they personally know them. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, they don't care about men. They don't care about men unless they personally get something from them. I'm sure that Joe Biden has, I don't know what type of relationship they have. I'm sure there's been money transferred maybe or something. But of course, she's not going to diss somebody that she knows because while he is a man, it's a human to her. I don't know. I'm convinced that feminists literally just do not want men to exist in this country. The more they talk about men,
100%.
The more they talk about men, and I was just watching the segment with the guy you had on who was joking about the article from the New York Times saying, hey guys, take estrogen to protect yourself against the coronavirus. They don't want men to be men. I don't know, it's just laughable. There's nothing you can do except laugh. But that's why I encourage people to at least go to the store InfoWarsStore.com here and take Supermail Vitality X2, something that, you know, do the opposite of what they're telling you to do. You can get those things at the store and you also support our work here. Just for the people that are watching, I got a new setup here. It looks pretty good. And that's because you guys go to the store and support our work. And so thank you for the new setup to the listeners.
I'm so glad that you turned that into a plug, Caitlin. That was perfect.
Yeah.
The perfect time to, yeah, advertise those products, which are so greatly needed right now because we have scientists trying to inject men in the U.S. with estrogen now. So that's just life in 2020. No big deal. Just move on. Look away. You know, men are bad. We've seen that time and time again from feminists. Exactly. Exactly.
Take your vaccines. Men, take your estrogen. Women, go into the workforce. Take your kids. Drop them off at daycare. Don't care for them. You know, hate men. We just got to follow the rules here. I don't make them. We just got to follow them.
10 out of 10, Caitlin. All right. Well, I will see you on the other side of this short break. And you and I will discuss coronavirus and what life has been like for you with it in Ohio. Kate. Caitlin Bennett and I are back. We will be with you throughout this whole hour to discuss today's breaking news, top things that are going on, and of course, because we can't escape it, a little bit of the coronavirus. In the break, Caitlin and I were talking about how difficult it is to create content right now for YouTube. Even you have to watch what you share on Twitter or Facebook because, I mean, it's nothing new that people are getting censored, but in the age of coronavirus, it's so much worse. So, Caitlin, talk to us about your experience with trying to report on this subject.
So we have to, and I hate to say it this way, but we have to kind of, it's going to sound wrong, but we kind of have to dumb down our content so that Facebook and YouTube doesn't catch on to it. We have to bleep certain words. We actually can't say the word coronavirus because you will get one demonetized and they're going to flag your channel for even talking about it. And this isn't just me. Jeffree Star is even doing it. One of the biggest YouTubers, makes tons of money on YouTube and through makeup. He can't even talk about or say the word coronavirus. He says the C word just like I do. And it makes it difficult to get the truth out to our audience. Mainstream media was saying that this coronavirus was not created in a lab. They were saying it's a conspiracy theory. And if you talk about it or you even go on a little bit to question if maybe that was the truth, you would get banned. Your videos would get pulled, just like those two doctors. I have not really dove in deep to what the doctors have been saying. I've read articles. Whether or not you think that they're accountable or you think that they know what they're talking about, that still should be allowed to be on there for people to make up their own minds. And it's very, very disturbing that we cannot talk about certain things or question certain things, or else we might get our entire channel banned. It's not just one video that gets banned. You get a
so I think Caitlin was about
videos pulled, but with this, they are getting their entire Twitters taken.
So you cut out there for a minute, sorry. And you had said that it's not just that video that gets banned. Were you going to finish that sentence with it's your entire channel that's at risk?
Yes, it's your entire channel. We run obviously Liberty Hangout is our YouTube, but also a Facebook page. And we have a Liberty Hangout Facebook group. And our group right now is under risk. We got an alert from Facebook yesterday that says admins approving fake news, what they deem as fake news. And I want to point out the fact checkers on Facebook are also the same outlets and articles, whatever, that run hit pieces on me, lying about things I've said and things I believe in. So I know firsthand that Facebook's fact checkers are not telling you facts. They have nothing to do with the facts. They've run hit pieces on me before that are absolutely untrue. So I know firsthand that you do not get to trust, you should not trust Facebook fact checkers. And it's a shame that they are even using a company or several different companies that run hit pieces on me that lie. So back to my original point, our Facebook group got an alert that we are at risk of losing our entire Facebook group. I think we have 20,000 members in there. I'm not sure. I don't really even look at it. But our Facebook group is under risk of getting completely disabled because some people in the group have posted articles that Facebook has deemed as fake news. So we can't even talk about certain things. And members can't even share their own opinions or articles, or else we get in trouble, even though we're not posting it. It's a lot deeper than I think a lot of people understand, and this is going to last forever. The shutdown, it'll be lifted. Things will go back to normal eventually. I do believe that. But the censorship will not end. That will stay on here forever.
And, you know, one of the craziest things to me, too, Caitlin, is the fact that all of these fact checkers or the people who are able to get your whole channel, your whole entire Twitter account completely banned off of social media, effectively silencing you, those people aren't doctors or scientists. Or even if they are following doctors and scientists, I've been highlighting this throughout the whole entire show. Those doctors and scientists have been proven wrong time and time again since January. They originally came out with projections saying that a certain amount of people were going to die. That was proven wrong. We've seen, but I mean, where has the outreach been towards them? And how come we're using this data that has been so inconsistent and using that as a basis for what can and cannot be said? I've been reading so many news stories and people are saying, oh, we're living in an age right now where there's such a dangerous spread of disinformation. Well, yeah, that's true by our own media. The exact people who are trying to get us banned and taken off of social media are the same ones that are spreading Chinese propaganda every single day. Yes. And I do want to highlight this as well. So I saw this tweet by Jay Rawson. Who knows? He's like some New York Times writer, and he's also a professor. He's a professor at NYU. He said, a group of professors, myself included, have written an open letter to the heads of ABC News, CBS News, NBC News, MSNBC, and CNN, petitioning for an end to live coverage of the president's briefings. If you're an academic and want to sign, scroll down. And he posted, it got 10,000 likes. Well, maybe they should stop airing these briefings, because all of these reporters that are going are asking Trump extremely misleading or even factually incorrect questions. This story came out today. Yahoo News reporter apologizes to Trump for pressing him on incorrect coronavirus testing statistic. Here's his tweet. In the Oval Office, I asked about test rates and infection rates compared to South Korea. President Trump and Dr. Birx said I was wrong, that they've done more tests per capita. Trump said I should apologize. They did not address multiple questions about our higher infection rate. He then has to backtrack and say, we have passed South Korea in the numbers of tests conducted per capita. I misread the mobile version of this chart, and I'm sorry about that, at Real Donald Trump. Our infection rate is far higher, though, as I noted. And before I let you respond to this, Caitlin, I just want to do some critical thinking here for 1 second. One thing that many reporters seem not to be able to do for some reason. Our infection rate is far higher than South Korea. What is the population of South Korea? The population of South Korea is 51 million people. What is the population of the USA? 328 million. So why do we have a higher infection rate if we have a bigger country with more people? I don't know.
Savannah, that's literally the same exact line of thinking that gun control advocates use when they say there are more gun deaths in the United States rather than somewhere over in Europe, and it's like the size of New York City. Yeah. It's the same exact line of thinking. Of course there's going to be more. We have so many people here. So the fact that, and, you know, and talking about his tweet and everything, he apologized, but what's going to be newsworthy? It's going to be the fact that President Trump berated and insulted a reporter just doing his job. Trump handled him like a man, and I loved it. No one knows who the hell you are. Exactly. That's what I say to people when they come up to me and they're like trying to berate me. I'm like, no one knows who you are. I don't care about you. I think Trump handled it perfectly, and I love that he had, what's her name? Wow, I'm drawing a blank. The woman beside him that actually answered the statistic and proved the reporter wrong about South Korea. Yes, yes, thank you so much. I completely drew a blank. So I'm really glad that, you know, you have Trump. It's like a dynamic duo here. You have Trump really getting in there being a man, and then Dr. Birx is over here like, actually, let me tell you why you're wrong. So I think the pair do great with the media.
Definitely. And it has been really great to see Trump standing up to the media when they do try to spout off these fake statistics. So thank God for that. We will be joined on the other side by Elijah Schaefer. We'll be right back.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Welcome back to The War Room. My name is Savannah Hernandez, and in this segment, I am joined by Caitlin Bennett and Elijah Schaefer. Very excited to have us all three talking in a roundtable discussion about all of the protests that have been going on recently regarding the coronavirus and everything that's going on in our nation. So before we start that conversation, Elijah, how have you been? You live in California, one of the strictest states for coronavirus lockdowns. How has life been over there? And also, we've seen you at protests in Washington State and throughout California. Talk to us about your experiences.
Well, first of all, thank you, Savannah, for having me on. It's good to be here with just all of us girls hanging out. Remember, it's 2020. The Constitution no longer matters, and you can be anything you want to, except for free. So, you know, it's been pretty wild across the states. I know that there's a lot of opinions. There is fear. And there's definitely misinformation driving people to consider this virus more important than their rights. And going around to these protests, I've been surprised at how bipartisan they've been and how much these protests have been more about people wanting to feed their families, which is apparently illegal these days, rather than trying to push a political agenda.
You know, that was something that I noticed as well, Elijah. And I had this huge rant at the beginning of the show because I've just been seeing so many people on Twitter call protesters individualistic, selfish, bad people who are spreading the coronavirus. And I just realized that it's really the people who are inside their houses, working from home, collecting a paycheck that are the selfish ones right now, because we do have Americans that are on the street that cannot afford to pay their rent or buy food. And it's so heartbreaking to see. But going into the lockdown you've been experiencing in California, how has it been living through that?
I kind of described recently that living in California right now is sort of like experiencing your first sex ed class when you're in junior high. You know, you've heard a lot about it, but when you actually see the pictures of these STDs yourself, it's a little bit shocking, and you never lose those images in your head. And that's how I feel here. I'm being exposed to what seems to be un-American totalitarian measures. And to put it in perspective, I'm really shocked. And I can describe myself like a kid in a class going, is that real on the screen? Because Gavin Newsom responded to what seemed to be the first light at the end of a tunnel. I mean, we had good weather, right? The only thing that I know that it's really good here is the weather. And people decided to go to the beach. They were social distancing, not in LA County, not in Ventura County, not in San Diego County, but Orange County, the one of the last free counties here in Southern California. And Governor Newsom said, if you don't listen to me, if you do not stay indoors, if you do not continue to abide by my guidelines, even if your city, even if your county said it's okay, I'm going to extend the stay-at-home orders. And, you know, he didn't say he was going to extend them because they were going to be helpful. He didn't say I'm going to extend them because of the fact that they're needed. He said, if you do not obey my commands to do what I want you to do, then I'm going to extend the lockdown. Why? Because I can, because I have the power, and because if I do it, you'll have to submit. And that really scared me because things are already very much in a position where people are living in fear and submission to an authoritarian governor. But when he said, I'm going to extend the lockdown for no other reason than the fact that I can, that just shows you the kind of place we're in right now as a state and as a country as a whole.
Honestly, sounds like Governor Whitmer in Michigan, because she threatened the same thing and then she did extend those lockdowns. But Caitlin, what do you make of all of these protests? You know, you're living in Ohio right now during the coronavirus. What do you think about people going out, breaking quarantine? What do you think about all of it?
Well, I feel like here in Ohio, it really hasn't changed much, at least for me. Obviously for me, since we can work from home, since we do video, things haven't changed for me very much, rather than I'm not out there at Trump's rallies helping him get reelected, and that sucks. I really miss going out there and promoting Trump's rallies and just dunking on some liberals. You know, that's what I'm missing right now. Very grateful that we do get supported by our fans there that go to the store and buy our products so that we can work from home and still maintain a living and, you know, put food on our table. But here in Ohio, I would say people are still going out and doing their normal things. They just aren't working. And that's what's really the backbone here of why people are protesting. So I have tons of friends that have gone to protest. I have not gone to the protest and covered them or anything like Elijah has, because my husband now, because I got married a month ago, he has asthma. So we don't want anything to get contracted back to him, or else I would be out there filming and interacting with people from a distance, of course, because this virus is real. But there is two ways that you can protest. One, go out there, open carry. If you have open carry laws, I've seen some people that are like, oh, don't open carry if you're don't bring guns if you're protesting the coronavirus. It makes other right wingers look bad. Bull crap. If you are protesting and you are allowed to carry, 100% carry. That is the First Amendment and the Second Amendment go hand in hand. So if you are able to do it because it protects you. It protects everybody there. Then there's a wrong way to protest. And I kind of want to dive into a little bit, maybe 30 seconds here. There was a mom who organized a protest. I forget what state it's in. And then at a playground. They took their kids, a group of moms took their kids to protest. They did not take them to play at a playground. And then the cops arrested one mom, and conservatives kind of ate this up. And what I'm going to say is might be unpopular among conservatives. And I guess when you say things that are unpopular among conservative figureheads, you get labeled deep state agents and FBI agents. So if this is an FBI agent, deep state thought that I'm about to say, then so be it. But you do not use your kids as a protest. If you want to protest your kids not being able to play on a playground, you go and you go to the playground. You do not use your kids to protest. I'm very concerned that a lot of conservatives are not saying, protest, go protest, leave your kids out of it. You should not be subjecting your kids to the image of you getting arrested. You should not be subjecting your kids to a political ploy that you want to make a point. The point is great. What she did was bad. The point was great that she wanted to protest. Using her kids to do so was bad. And if this is unpopular and people don't like me about it, and I'm hated among conservatives, and so be it. Kids are the number one thing that we have to protect.
And Caitlin, I do want to jump in here, yeah, because I was definitely one of the people who watched that video, and I was more on the mom side, but I was looking at it from more of the perspective of who pays for the playgrounds. The taxpayers do.
Yes.
That was public property, not private property. So I don't think it was right that the mom was arrested. Now, of course, a lot of people can argue that, she went and she took the caution tape off. The officers asked her to leave several times. But the way that I look at it is that this is public property that is paid for by taxpayers. So what the police did was wrong. So that's my opinion. We got Caitlin's opinion. Elijah, what do you think?
You know, when you see something like this happen, obviously, I think it was Rogan O'Hanley, he runs a famous account, DC Drano, who made this video go viral, something upwards of like 12 to 20 million views. At that point, once it gets that high, you don't even know what the numbers are. I think I've had COVID-19 already. In fact, I have to go get tested for antibodies because there's some presumptions that I've already had it. And I got really sick recently with something very similar. I've taken the risks myself. And I understand about people not using kids as a ploy. So I want to back up Caitlin's point on that. You know, when I go to left-wing protests and I see people using their kids as a shield in a protest, it's pretty sick because kids don't know what they're being involved in. It's just like, you know, the left using Down syndrome people as drag queens. Check that out, drag syndrome. It's ridiculous to use the weak and the innocent as ploys. But I do understand her fully because she paid for this. And I even told my apartment unit, I said, you know, if I can't use the pool, then you need to lower my rent. And so I'm using the pool until they lower my rent. I'm paying for the facilities. And if I can't use them, then you need to not charge me for them. So if they don't want us to use the parks, they need to lower our taxes. And that's where I stand. And I think her protest is significant national.
Well, very interesting opinions on this. And I'm glad that we did talk about it. We'll continue our conversation on the other side of this short break. So I am currently talking with Elijah Schaefer and Caitlin Bennett, and I was talking to Elijah for a quick second, and I had no idea that he has a background in science, a perfect background for a subject like coronavirus. So Elijah, you know, there's been a lot of rage out there if you go out and you don't wear a mask in terms of spreading this virus. You know, we've been fed these projections and statistics of death rates that haven't come to fruition, of infection rates that haven't come to fruition. So what is your take on all of this? And what is your take on the doctors and scientists that we are supposed to be listening to and the data that they've been giving us?
Yeah, you know, one thing very interesting is while I appear on this show and people call Band.video or InfoWars conspiracy theorists, I also go on things like, you know, I'll write in the Washington Post or I'll go on other major media news outlets like ABC World News. And so I'm not really concerned on what people perceive an outlet to be, whether far right, far left. I don't care. I want the truth. My background is in science and specifically in the mechanisms of science genetically. I have a degree in molecular biology. I've worked in a lab for a couple of years. I dropped out of grad school to continue in politics. But I'll tell you what, I did really well studying pathology, immunology, and beginning to understand enough, not to consider myself an expert, but enough to know when bullshit is being explained. And I can read scientific papers as well as any other scientist can, because I know the wording and I understand it. And from the very beginning, I have looked at the coding of this virus, specifically some of the sequencing that seems unnatural, looks lab created. As far back as early February, I was on air saying, you know, this looks like it was created in a lab. And I'm not even one to speculate. I'm reading the papers, the papers written by the experts, someone who can read them, and saying this is a lab-created virus. On top of that, I want to say this. I've looked at the infectious factors of this virus. It's not highly as infectious as people are talking about in terms of, yes, it transfers to new hosts very quickly, but the mortality rate is so low. That's why I'm not afraid. In fact, I'm immunocompromised. People don't know that. I'm immunocompromised. I have severe childhood asthma. I was on ventilators as a child. I have damaged bronchi, and I contracted a virus that was unable to be identified in December through my work. I was coughing up blood, and I had a mild fever. Very, very bad cough. I thought I was going to die, actually. I've been on ventilators before, and I was able to get past it. And so I started looking into this once the COVID-19 theory came out. There was this new virus from China in January. I looked into it because I go, oh, man, I think I almost died. And all of a sudden, I started realizing, oh, that's why I didn't die, because I believed that I already had it. And I realized that this is really affecting mostly older populations, people who have degenerative lungs. And I started going, oh, I'm not really afraid of this. And then I saw the media. I was in a room with a COVID patient, by the way, just in January, I think it was, January, February. I was in a room with some people who had COVID. And I'm fine. And it's to the point where I look at this and I go, I'm not one to speculate, but I'm realizing with these studies coming out of New York, with these studies coming out of Miami and Stanford and USC and top universities saying 13.9% at least of random sampling Americans have it. The fact that 75% of Asian Americans live in California, right around where I live. The fact that most flights out of the Pacific land originally that connect to the United States come out of Southern California or out of San Francisco. This is where people are starting to realize that maybe the infection started. And there was a weird, I'm going to end with this. There was a weird viral outbreak that happened in November, December here in California. I know two people that died from it. No one knows what it was. We know now what this is. It's COVID. It's been here for a long time. And I'm tired of shutting up and pretending like when they say masks help, masks, cloth masks without a respirator do not effing help. They are a hotbed for viruses and bacteria. That can stop you. When I worked in a lab, we wore cloth masks for one reason mostly. So our heat from our mouths and our saliva didn't get on the live tissue samples or bacterial samples that were on side of the slides or the plates. It wasn't so we could be protected. We would have to wear PPE, protective gear, shields, or more or larger strength respirators. And I own gas masks. I own respirators because I work in protests and I know what gas masks and respirators work to protect yourself against nerve agents and viruses. And this bullshit, put a cloth around your face, isn't helping anyone. And if I'm going to die from it, I'm one of the highest risk people. And I'm not going out there because I'm a moron. I'm not talking to people because I'm a dumbass.
Hey, okay, you know, okay, hang on. I think you can say that actually, but we cannot say the other word, bull. So just let me cut you off there because I know you are getting really hyped up right now, which is good. This is great that you're finally, you know, coming on and talking about this. Sorry, continue. Finish, Elijah. Don't cuss, but finish.
My bad. My apologies.
You're bad.
My apologies. I know that I'm a rebel here, and I know the average American like myself uses those words when they get heated, and I will not apologize. Though I will say to the producers, I'll watch my words from here on out. But I because I know you guys, I'm making your job harder for you. But I will tell you this realistically right now. I get the fear, I get the lack of knowledge that people have. But if you just read the papers that have come out even from China, from the World Health Organization, from independent fact checkers and labs and scientists. It's not a conspiracy. This is a dangerous virus. It does kill people. It is not a joke. It is not a hoax. But it is not what it is being portrayed to be. And if you have that information and you understand that, You will take it. You will take this seriously, and by God, please take it seriously. But don't treat it like it's worth giving up your constitutional rights to stay at home and feed your family, because it's not.
And Elijah, you said if you read the sources, if you read the information, and Caitlin will get your response too. But I've been following this since early January, which is why I think I have the understanding of it that I do. But for the average person who's being bombarded with media headlines that we're running out of ventilators, hospitals are overrun, the virus can live in the air, the virus can live in surfaces. If you don't wear a mask, you're going to spread it. If you go outside, you're going to kill potentially all of the elderly people in America. So, I mean, that's what the average person is seeing. I get why they're terrified too. I would probably feel the same exact way if I wasn't following this for months. So you say to go to, you know, the World Health Organization sources, give me like a specific document that people can go read, a good starting point for them. Because I think that is a big thing for people too, is like, okay, well, where do I get this information? What am I looking for?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So if you want to look for interesting sources, there's so many of them that I can just tell you. I wouldn't say go to Google, go to DuckDuckGo, or go to Google if you still like your information being plotted. Look at recent studies online. Type in recent studies from New York Health, Public Health. Look at recent public health studies from Los Angeles, from USC, University of Southern California. Look at recent studies from Stanford. Look at recent studies from Miami Public Health. Look at recent studies from independent organizations in Florida. Understand the information that's out there and look up the articles. There are a lot of articles. This is not just like a, oh, I hate Trump, F Trump. And then you go, well, what reason do you hate him? And they go, there's too many to talk about. I'm telling you, go read the documents that are online. They're not censored yet. They're out there. Andrew Cuomo, right? The great old leader here in New York is saying, he even said, I'm perplexed by these findings. Mm-hmm. I'm perplexed. Because you know why you're perplexed? Because you son of a gun, you realize you've been lying to your own people. And you know what? De Blasio, the mayor of New York, going out there and saying, he's out there on walks in parks, miles from his house. If really we needed to stay home, if really their lives were at bay, wouldn't the politicians be the first ones to look out for themselves? Isn't that what they do? They always look out for themselves first and foremost above everybody else. And so why are they in parks miles from their house going on nature walks in the middle of one of the busiest and hardest hit places in the country? If it's as serious as it is, I say BS. And that one was for your producers. I'm not going to say the word, but you can think it in your head.
Thank you, Elijah. You to this day are our most high maintenance guest. Thank you for showing us why, good Lord Jesus. Anyways, Caitlin, would you like to comment on any of that? Final comments?
Yes. So number one, I'm glad that Elijah is alive and well. We need more queer people of color like her here in America, representing all of us other women of color, me, Caitlin Bennett. So I'm glad that he is still alive. But on a serious note, I'm very glad that Elijah did mention that this is a serious virus. You shouldn't play it off like it's not going to hurt you or anything. I have my best friend, my maid of honor, and my wedding that got canceled. She had a family member that did pass away. So while people are scared or whatever, we have to come from this from different angles. Some people can't feed their family right now, and that's devastating. Some people are losing their family members, so that's devastating. And real quick, just take it seriously, but be smart. Like, just take what Elijah said and put it on repeat. He said it better than I ever could.
Well, thank you guys for coming on today. Caitlin, I know you've got to go, but Elijah, if you can stay on for an extra 5 minutes, I'd love to continue this conversation with you.
100%.
The fight for the future is now. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
So Elijah Schaefer is staying on with me for 5 more minutes. I'm very excited because he is on fire right now, and I had no idea that he had the background that he did. So I want to ask you, Elijah, about the comparison of COVID-19 to the flu, because that has been a point of contention. I have been looking at the CDC graphs of how many people are usually infected, die, hospitalized from the flu every year, and it does seem that COVID is similar, if not a little bit more lethal in terms of the mortality rate to the flu. So what is your opinion on it? And do you think that it's a fair comparison?
Yeah, Savannah, I'm so glad you asked that, actually, because when we look at these rates, we need to make sure that we're looking at the facts from a few sources. Number one, while people doubt the Center of Disease Control, which you can be found all of their open reports online, I do want to bring up the point that when we are arguing with people, we need to make sure that we are looking at all sources. And that's really vital for the audience at band.video and here on News Wars to really talk about the truth by looking at everything that's being said. Now that being on the table, the CDC says that in 2018, there was about 59,041 people approximately that died from a combination or individualistic approach of influenza A, B, and pneumonia. And it's harder to determine the difference. On top of that, that was in 2018. Now, in the last 2019-2020 study, only 24,000 people died, apparently. Now, I know some people say it's up to 80,000 in 2018 season. I can't confirm or deny that, but I do know at least 60. So it looks like about 66% less people died this year from the flu, or did they? Bringing this into perspective, up to 64.8% of people who are vulnerable to die from influenza pneumonia, which are geriatric patients, receive the vaccination. So that means that influenza without the vaccination and pneumonia or combination of the both is much more deadly than this disease if the vaccines every year did not exist. I know a lot of people watching probably are very weary or very questionable on vaccines. I happen to be a very pro-vaccination person, but a very pro-voluntary vaccination person. You look up the vaccines, you find out what they do to you, what the risks are involved, and you decide for yourself. So you can suck on that one, Bill Gates. But I like vaccines for a lot of reasons. But when you look at this disease and what they're trying to push in this vaccine for people, this aligns a lot more with Agenda 21, things precursed from Event 201. I'm sure your audience is more even aware of that than I am. But that being said, when you look at the mortality rate of this disease, is it serious? Yes. One death by this disease makes it a serious infection. But on top of that, is this as deadly as people say it is? 100% no, according to the data and statistics. And also considering the fact that there currently is not a vaccine for this disease, and I'm weary of the vaccine they're even inventing for this, by the way, even though I am pro-vax, this vaccine seems to have a lot more nefarious motives behind it. I will say this, and I'll end with this, and I want to be true. Right now in California, the state of California, I think there's upwards of close to 2,000 deaths from COVID, and the curve is beginning to flatten. But in the last year, there were 15,000 deaths from accidents on hobbies or work. So right now, working, holding a job, and having a hobby is more deadly in the state of California than COVID, which is the most populous state in the union. That should speak for itself.
Well, Elijah, I'm glad that you were able to come on and clarify some of those statistics for us and really break it down. I'd highly recommend people go and follow him. Elijah, what's your YouTube? What's your Twitter? Where can people follow you and listen to you? Because I know you have your own show as well.
Go right now to youtube.com/slightlyoffensive. That's youtube.com/slightlyoffensive, where you can type my name, Elijah Schaefer. I just released a video on a protest in Orange County that is up right now. You'll see it right there. It says Defend Democracy. It's on the uploads. It is trending right now, even though YouTube has demonetized, suppressed this. By the way, guys, YouTube turned off the monetization for that video. They didn't demonetize it. They made it unable to spread. So we are manually spreading it right now. That brand new upload, find it and watch it and spread it. And we have new videos coming out of the mass California protest this next week. Find us there.
Elijah Schaefer, Slightly Offensive. Thanks for coming on. are going to be joined by Frank Kavanaugh on the air guitar this hour. Should be a lot of fun. So far, it's been a great 2 hours. We've covered a lot of subjects from coronavirus to Joe Biden to some of the statistics that we've been fed. I really wanted the focus of this show today to be about going over what the media has been pushing on us, the fear that they've created in America and worldwide regarding the coronavirus, and really highlight why people shouldn't be afraid to leave their houses, why people shouldn't be afraid to go outside without a face mask. Elijah Schaefer was talking about how face masks, when you wear them, aren't very helpful. And it's so crazy because when I was researching all of this, there was an article that came out, or a reference from the CDC a couple months back, when the U.S. Surgeon General originally said that we don't need to wear face masks, that they're not going to help you. The CDC had an article that was talking about how face masks, if they're not airtight on your face, the microbes that you breathe out are going to escape, or you're going to be able to breathe microbes in. But researching it now, I couldn't find that piece that they were referencing in the articles that back a couple months ago, they were referencing back to the CDC to say that, hey, you don't need a mask. So they are quoting them on their own statistics and information. But when the tides changed and the media said, no, now you have to wear a face mask, all of a sudden that piece of information just disappeared. And when you go on the CDC website and look that up, you're going to be found with a website not found or page not found graphic that comes up. But if you do go look at the wearing a face mask and whether or not it's going to protect you, just like Elijah talked about, that mask really isn't going to stop you from breathing in or putting out microbes when push comes to shove, unless you're wearing an N95 and it has an airtight seal on your face. So Frank, that's what I've been talking about a little bit throughout this whole entire show today, is just the media hysteria. What have you made of this? You're currently a farmer yourself, and you know, we've seen, because of the media hysteria, people have their businesses closed down, restaurants are closed down, people are going shopping less, food is being rationed at grocery stores, and farmers are having to throw away their produce, their products. We saw chickens being euthanized in mass because there's just no need for so much produce. I mean, as a farmer yourself, what do you make of all of this stuff that's coming out? What do you make of all of the media hysteria that has led us to this moment?
You know, the main way to control everyone is fear, and they're making everyone completely scared. The mask thing is that it's now broken down to lines where it's totally political, where Democrats wear a mask, Republicans don't. You know, if anyone was in the military and you wore a mask, you know about tear gas. And if there's any little crack in it, you're having a really bad day. So that's what's happening with those masks. The masks aren't stopping anything. But the whole reason they're using the masks is a control thing. And what they've done is they've completely made it so that if you try to say anything different than the mainstream media, you are now completely at fault of killing people. And what that's done is it's amazing for someone who's followed this for so long to see that exactly what they've said the whole time is actually coming true. And the Club of Rome wanted to make an enemy that would be humanity. And now everyone is the enemy of everyone else. And I've said that before. And, you know, I'm glad that you had Elijah on, and I'm sorry that I was late and I missed talking with him, because I love what Caitlin Bennett does, and I love what Elijah does. I think that we have to focus on the fact that this is the last gasp effort of the globalist media and the globalist establishment to gain back all the control that Trump has been taking from them for the last 3 years. And this is the perfect point for us, if we remain vigilant, when the knowledge that you went to look for, it has gone down the digital memory hole, just like in 1984. You went back to look at the CDC information and it's gone. We almost have to screenshot all this stuff. But if you say this to people that are skeptical and you have that screenshot and they remember it, That's how we get them, a little bit at a time. We have to remember this whole thing was incrementalism. They did this over generations, and everyone's not going to just change back overnight. So that's the first way to do it is when you're changing a mind, be nice. Don't ridicule them when you've got them down.
And Frank, I do want to butt in really quick before you make that second point, because you did just highlight something that is very important. And that's the fact that, I mean, just like with the CDC, how they deleted that piece of information, that's also why, too, we saw the two doctors get deleted off of YouTube. That's why we've seen complete censorship of InfoWars and all people affiliated on Twitter. Because if you delete something, like we always call it, digital book burning, people aren't going to remember it. And that's what a lot of people don't understand with big tech censorship. It's not just silencing someone's voice that you don't like, but it's taking away your own freedom to think and access information that you should be able to have. Whether you like that information or not, in America, we should have the freedom to look up what Agenda 21 is, like Elijah Schaefer was talking about, what Event 201 is, who Alex Jones is, what Bill Gates and his ties to all of these vaccines are. And we should be able to look up all of this information and be allowed to make our own decisions based on these facts that we have. But we're not allowed to do that anymore. It's the media, it's a big tech that are the sole delegates of what we are allowed to think and what we are allowed to say. And that has been exemplified so much, not even just throughout this year, but for the past couple of years, to be quite honest. Once social media emerged, it really emerged how much big tech was going to try to silence dissenting voices.
You know, the one thing that God gave all of us was freedom of choice. We have freedom of choice to sin or not, to follow the right way or the evil way. The devil doesn't want you to have any freedom of choice. And the other thing is the devil doesn't want you to even know that he exists. He's a trickster. He can't create anything. So what he's done is he's tricked humanity into making the World Wide Web. We're all under surveillance. Where now it's coming down to we're all going to be surveilled through digital vaccine tattoos under our skin. That is so manifestly the devil incarnate on the earth. It's ridiculous now. You can't say that it's not there. It's here. It is now here. Which brings me to the second point I wanted to make about the people of the world and the people of the United States. We've now reached a point where the information is there, and if people are not on the right side, then they're on the wrong side, or they're going to panic. And when someone is drowning and they panic, they'll drown you. So we all have to start being very careful of this. We have to make sure that we're hyper vigilant about people swarming on us, because we are right and they want to take us down because they have nothing. So and the thing that's going to keep us going through this is all of us. I know your grandfather was in Vietnam. My grandfather was a West Point graduate, was in World War II. We were raised with certain values where we don't do this for money. We don't do this for anything other than this is what we're supposed to do. This is our duty. We feel that we need to stand up for our country and speak and not allow these lies to come forth. And those are big shoes to fill, which we will fill, because we're not filling them alone. We have the whole history of our ancestors behind us. And we also have the whole future of our families in front of us. And right now is the critical point where we're deciding which way it's going to go.
And it really is because of our supporters that we are able to stay on air and get this message to you. So go to InfoWarsStore.com and take a peek at some of our great products. Until Frank Kavanaugh and I are back after the short break. It has been a long day of news reporting, y'all, and it's been great to finally get to sit back in studio and talk with everyone about what's been going on in America over the past couple of months. It's so great to be able to sit up here and have the opportunity to talk to such a wide range of people. And of course, that's because of our supporters and all of our listeners. The last protest that I went to, I had so many people coming up to me and saying, hey, after I saw this video, I went to InfoWars store and I bought this product. Hey, after, you know, I listened to you on this broadcast, I went and I donated. And that's such a great thing to hear. And it's, I just want to say thank you to all of our supporters and listeners, because again, I'm here because of you, because of your support. This would not be possible without anyone out there that's listening. So thank you so much. And I want to direct you guys to one of the products that I think is essential for a healthy life, and that is Vitamin Mineral Fusion. I have such a busy life and it's so hard for me to keep up with all of the different types of vitamins and minerals that are needed and essential for a healthy body and focus and clarity. And this is such a great product because you're going to get all of that in one package. It's currently 50% off, and you guys can see for yourselves, it's got 4.8 stars. And if you guys will actually pull that back up and scroll down, it has a list of all of the vitamins and minerals that are in this product. A little bit more. All right, there we go. So you guys can just see this mass list. And for our radio listeners, I'll just list off a few. You're going to get vitamin C, vitamin E, D, B12, calcium, magnesium, zinc, all of those things that you need for a healthy, productive, clear, focused life. So I'd highly recommend going and grabbing this product today. Of course, because Alex cares so much about the health of each individual listener, he always has products on sale for you guys, because again, he really does care about everyone so much. So big thanks to him and big thanks to you for always supporting us. And with that, I also want to hear from our listeners who have been tuned into today's show. And I want to talk to you guys and ask you guys what you're personally going to do to stand up against these unconstitutional orders of lockdown, what you're going to do to make sure that the government doesn't have overreach in your life, in your family's life. Now is the time for us to stand up. So I want to hear about your experiences, if you guys have been attending protests, if you plan to attend a protest. So call in at 877-789-2533. I would love to hear from you guys today regarding these subjects. Again, that's 877-789-2539. I'm also joined by Frank Kavanaugh. He's going to be taking phone calls with me. So you'll not only get to talk to me, but Frank as well. Frank, so we've seen a lot going on in the news. And again, this whole show has just been about debunking the mass hysteria that we've seen. Yesterday, Mike Pence went to a Mayo Clinic and he didn't have a face mask on. And of course, the media went crazy. Well, Chip Roy on Twitter put out this statistic. He said, the Mayo Clinic, like healthcare providers around the nation, has furloughed some 30,000 health workers. But don't worry about the health and economic consequences of that on Americans. Get hung up on the VP and a mask. And again, I'm highlighting all of these workers that have been furloughed who have experienced this economic recession, because we know that suicide rates are going to spike. We know that people are having a hard time providing for their families. So, Frank, what's your take on the economic destruction that we've currently been living through?
You know, Savannah, the scariest thing, well, first of all, the whole mask thing, it's like today or yesterday, it's the mask. Before that, it was the Lysol thing. You know, it's constantly bottom feeders. They're keeping the plebeian, like shallow, basically people that are very shallow and easily led. They're keeping them fed with this hysteria, where in reality, all these people are getting laid off. When we come out of this lockdown, it is a fact that if you're not interacting with other animals, human animals, and your immune system is not doing its physical calisthenics like it's supposed to do every day, like people aren't going to the gym, your immune system's not going to the gym either. So when all this lockdown stops, we're all going to go out. Everyone's going to get sick from everything. All these people are going to be furloughed. We're going to have a medical emergency then. And that's exactly what they want. They didn't get it this time, so now they're creating it the second time. Now, that's my worst case scenario, but that's a very, I think, legitimate worry, especially after watching that video from California where those doctors are explaining that same exact thing, where they're making us all weaker. And it's exactly like they want us all separated more and more. because if we're separated, we're easily led. And what's happening right now is what we've always been talking about. The best thing is Michael Snyder from America, the Economic Collapse blog, saying it is happening right now, and it is happening right now. And everyone who's always wanted to do anything for the Patriot Movement, you need to do it now, and you need to do it any way you can. And if you get a garden going, I can't even give you your own ideas. You have to search within your heart, and your heart will tell you. But if you do it, that's the little fight, that little cut, the death of a million cuts is what is going to kill the globalists. Because look at what they've done. It's now homegrown. There's no food. We're going to start getting our homegrown food. There's no media. We can't go get our stories on the big platforms. We're going to make it homegrown. And that's why you have Elijah, why you have Slightly Offensive, why you have that whole genre of people, because they were trying to shut us down. And they don't understand that you can't shut down the truth. And that's where we're at. It's springtime, but it's also springtime for knowledge. But it is so complicated, because when we come out of this lockdown, you know, a lot of people are going to be getting sick, and they're going to use that. They're going to utilize that. And we need to get a jump on that now to put it out there that this isn't Trump's fault. You know,
and see, Frank, I'm glad that you did bring that up as well, because one of the big and key things that those doctors in California did highlight in their video was how our immune systems work, and how if you are constantly inside and quarantining, that's actually counterproductive to you being able to fight the coronavirus if you get it. We're all in this lockdown. We're all in this shutdown. So scared of germs. We're all hypochondriacs right now. And that in itself is more destructive than if we were all outside. If we look at Sweden, they never went into a lockdown or a shutdown. And if you look at the rates, their death rates, their infection rates, they're similar to a lot of other countries that are similar in size to them. Why is that? And of course, we hear that it's because of herd immunity. And these doctors as well explained it very well, which is why I will keep reiterating, everyone go to band.video, listen to the full hour for yourself. If you don't have time for the full hour, listen to one of the many Greg Reese boil downs. You can go find those on there and just share the heck out of this video, because it's so important that we hear a narrative that isn't going to scare people, and that's actually counter to what we've been fed for the past 4 months straight. So folks, the phone lines are now open, 877-789-2539. I'd love to hear from you folks, 877-789-2539. And I'll be right back on the other side with Frank Kavanaugh. Go to InfoWarsStore.com though on the short break.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
So I was scrolling through Twitter on the break, and I saw this story come out from National File breaking: President Trump is planning to take action against China and the World Health Organization over their coronavirus failures. Of course, great news, because we know since the beginning of this that China has not been truthful about the coronavirus in terms of initial numbers, initial death rates. I was thinking about this earlier, and I remember back in January, reports were coming out that were saying that the crematoriums in China were running for so long and throughout the day, and they were burning so many bodies that there was a smog over cities in China. But somehow, if you look at the death rates currently from coronavirus, China is like at the very bottom of the rest of the world, which makes absolutely no sense, because apparently that's where coronavirus comes from. And then we know that the World Health Organization at the beginning of the coronavirus outbreak was praising China for their response to this. They were saying that Xi Jinping did a great job, that he was being very transparent. And then we looked more into the WHO. Their director general has ties to China. Beijing lobbied for him, and he became the first non-doctor director general of the WHO. very fishy, all of this. So I'm very glad that Trump is taking action against China, because they're not a truthful country. They're a country that we shouldn't be so closely tied to as we are. They're a country that has infiltrated our media, our entertainment business, our sports industry. So it's time for us to nip this in the bud and just cut off China, because their tentacles run deep throughout this country and it's not okay anymore. I saw this tweet by Alessandra Bacchi today. She's an Italian journalist, one of the people that I was blessed enough to go to Hong Kong with. She likes to focus on China as well. It's one of her passions. And she tweeted this today. Chinese propaganda is teaching middle schoolers in China that the coronavirus originated in America and that China was too strong for the virus to stay there. The newspaper is the Middle School Student Herald. And Jack Posobiec, who is also fluent in Mandarin, he translated all this and said, yes, can confirm this is accurate. And if you do read the little excerpt that she put up, that's a little poem about the coronavirus called "The Coronavirus is Finally Crying." It says, I'm leaving, going back to America. Once I'm in America, I'm back home. I regret coming to China. Goes on to say, China's government is too strong. China's nurses and doctors are too fearless. Probably the same fearless doctors and nurses that China was silencing and disappearing at the beginning of the coronavirus outbreak. Very interesting to see how China works, and more sad that our own media has been parroting and spreading their Chinese propaganda throughout our own country. So I hope that the one thing that does come out of this whole situation and experience for a lot of Americans is to see just how deep China's ties are within our own country and just how many media figures are actually shilling for China. So with that said, Frank, let's go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go to Sergeant in California, who was at a protest and wants to talk about a little bit of what he saw.
Hi, Savannah and Frank. Frank, I wanted to ask you a quick question. Has anybody ever told you look almost like Frank Zappa?
No, but hey, man, Frank Zappa is awesome. You know,
yeah,
I think Frank Zappa was a libertarian.
Yeah, he was an extremely smart fellow. Hey, I wanted to go ahead and talk about. I was at the Orange County protest for the Open Up California. And I also plan at being at the May 1st one. InfoWars was being broadcasted over a loudspeaker somebody had brought to the protest, which is actually really nice. It was the War Room. So it was a really nice gathering. The energy was nice. It was very peaceful. The police were pretty cordial. I didn't have any issues with them. But I did want to raise a specific issue as far as the constitutionality of these lockdowns. And people are like, oh, yeah, you can't take away our rights and this and that. But there's one specific amendment, the 14th Amendment. It first says that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. It then says, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person with its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. So basically, to go ahead and say these lockdowns are actually unlawful, they go against not only the Constitution, but also the 14th Amendment. They're seriously abridging our rights and our privileges. They are illegal, unenforceable by law, unenforceable. And I say that the state shall not create, it also cannot enforce. So those police officers, I disagree with Alex Jones. He says police officers are not to blame. And this isn't to poop on police officers. But I'm going to tell you right now, those officers are our last line of defense against these tyrannical governments that are carrying out these orders. They must stand down and recognize their place. They have no authority to enforce these lockdowns. And this, and like these doctors say that are being banned off the internet, if these lockdowns persist and they continue to enforce them, there will be violence. People are not going to stand for this.
A lot of great points, Sergeant, and it is worth noting that there are police officers in some cities. I know police officers in Houston, they actually defied their basically like higher government when they were saying, you know, oh, you need to fine people for not wearing a face mask. And the sheriff's department said, no, we're not going to be implementing these rules, restrictions, enforcements because they're unconstitutional. But a very good point, Sergeant. Frank, would you like to respond?
you know, I know a lot of law enforcement officers. I was in the military. I know a lot of my local sheriffs, and they're all humans. They're all people. You know, if you talk to someone in a human way, then, you know, that's what we all need to do through all of this. Everybody's afraid, and they don't need to be afraid, including the police officers. The police officers don't want to get killed every day, you know. So, but Sarge, the one thing I did want to point out, though, is that the authority for this has been delegated by the voters to the legislature, to the city councils, to whoever is making that ordinance in that city. So if you have a local, you have a local municipality that they pass that ordinance, and then the local police arrest you, and then the local magistrate keeps you in jail, you know, that is the thing that they have, is it might all be unconstitutional, and you'll beat the rap in the end, but will you beat the ride? And that's one of their main weapons. So what we have to do now is we should be bombarding our representatives and our senators and especially our local ones, our trustees, our city council members. Bombard them every day. You're frustrated because you're not working. Call them. You're there at home all day long. Call them 10 times a day, you know, because they're humans too. We're all humans. And what they're trying to do with this whole lockdown is separate us and take away our humanity. They don't want us to connect on the things that we all connect on that keep us together, like sports, church, concerts. They want us all separated and alone and fearful. So, you know, Sarge, I can feel your frustration. I hear what you're saying. But harness that energy and don't let them use it. You know, I don't know how to do that. But the one thing I wanted to point out from what Savannah was saying before is that another one of our weapons is pointing out the Chinese propaganda in all of this. The story that she began this segment with was obviously propaganda. We need to, someone needs to make a video pointing out all the Hollywood actors, all the media people, and how much money the Chinese-owned media companies have been paying them, and how they're bought off. How Don Lemon and Rachel Maddow and Anderson Cooper all are getting money from China. That's what we need to point out, that it is Chinese propaganda over and over and over again, because that is their goal, is to destroy America and make America a province of China.
Great point, Frank, and thank you so much for your call, Sergeant, and for going out there and being a part of those protests in California. It's so important that people go out and have their voices heard. On the other side of this break, we're going to take the rest of your phone calls. Corey in Nevada, Nick in Michigan, Cowboy in Oregon, Curtis in Utah, Joel in Ohio, and O'Brien in Maryland. But, of course, while you wait for us, folks, go to InfoWarsStore.com and go grab some Vitamin Mineral Fusion, because that is going to be a great product to help you lead a clear and focused life. So important during this time in our history. So we can't end the show today without talking about Mayor Bill de Blasio's tweet that he put out last night. And I'm going to get to this really quickly. He said yesterday that his message to the Jewish community and all communities is simple. The time for warnings has passed. He's instructing the NYPD to proceed immediately to summons or even arrest those who gather in large groups. This is about stopping diseases and saving lives, period. Now, our last caller talks about how police officers are our last line of defense and how we need them to stand up. Well, luckily for the people of New York, it seems that that may be the case. This Twitter account that's associated with the NYPD shared, Mayor de Blasio, you cannot instruct the NYPD to violate people's rights. If you wanted to save lives, you should have closed schools, not sold ventilators, and not tell people to go out to dinner. This event was a funeral. This community will not leave bodies in their homes for you. And they shared a picture of a mass Jewish funeral because of coronavirus death. So I did want to highlight that as well, because of course that was something that de Blasio put out yesterday that, again, very unconstitutional, very big overreach of the government in New York over there. So let's get to our phone calls. Corey in Nevada, he is going to a protest this Saturday in Carson City.
How's it going, y'all? Hey, first off, Savannah, that rant you made at the beginning of the show was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Just straight up. I mean, Alex and Owen would be jealous of that, because that was straight on point. Us Vegas Proud Boys are making a caravan up to Carson City starting Friday, We have like a few cars, but we have had like some other people who have like funded us for this caravan. So like we are kind of like their silent voice a little bit, whereas like they rely on us to like do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just do the right thing. And it is, it's a phenomenal movement.
Well, Corey, I'm glad that you have funding and people backing you and that you guys are going to those protests. Now is more important than ever. And I would elaborate more on this, but we do have a couple more callers and we are in our last segment of the show. But Corey, thank you so much for calling in and thank you for your kind words as well. Continue to go to protests, continue to get your voice heard and your group's voice heard. That's amazing. Nick in Michigan, you want to talk about the importance of trusting God.
Yes, I do. And thank you for taking my call. I want to say I love all you at InfoWars. You guys are an inspiration to me and millions of people. And I want to say, Savannah, you're doing a wonderful job hosting.
Thank you so much.
So one of the things, obviously, I wanted to bring up was trusting in him. And we have to know how to, you know, how to abide in him. What does he want of us? And one thing that I think is really important is everybody's heard of the mark of the beast, but not everybody's heard of the mark of Yah or the mark of God. And in Exodus 13:9, it breaks down what that is. It says, it shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a reminder between your eyes that the Torah of Yahuwah shall be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, Yahuwah has brought you out of the land of sin. And that word sign is the Hebrew word oath. It's Hebrew word number 226 in the concordance. It means a signal, a flag, a beacon, a monument, an omen. Evidence of consent shows that we have consented to him, that we abide in him, that we are doing his will. And if we do that, I don't think we can have the mark of the beast. I don't think we will take the mark of the beast. I think that we have to be the change. If we're big or small, if we have a big voice or a small voice, doesn't matter. We have to stand for what's right, starting with our personal choices, starting with our home, our community, our friends, our city, all the way up.
Great points, Nick. And I'm sorry to cut you off. We do have to get to our other callers, but I know Frank Kavanaugh would probably be interested in responding to that. So after we get to our other callers, Frank, I will ask for your comments back to this call. But let's go to Cowboy in Oregon next, who wants to talk of instead of setting dates to reopen, we need to be open every day. Cowboy, elaborate on that.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I just want to agree on the last caller about the mark of God. If we accept that, we won't accept the mark of the beast. It goes on another phrase, the people done put the Bible away and living by the law of the land. And once we did that, we became slaves. So when we stopped living the law by the land, we won't be slaves no more. Yeah, I wanted to talk about, instead of having set dates, we should, every single day that the American people are not working, not have jobs, we need to be outside protesting to open up the American economy. I have been working since this pandemic has happened here at my cow ranch, and, I'm willing to put my neck on the line to go to those protesters every day to help Americans. I will take the day off to go to the protest. I'm willing to help. The economy needs to open back up.
Well, thank you so much, Cowboy. We really appreciate you getting out there and standing up. That's what we need right now. Curtis in Utah, you are a truck driver. Talk to us about your experience. I'm going to give you 45 seconds.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to let you guys know. I've been talking to a lot of people out here all over the United States. I've been from California to the East Coast multiple times within the past 2 or 3 weeks. And a lot of people are really frustrated. A lot of average Joe people that are still working. I've been blessed to be able to still work during this pandemic or whatever you want to call it. And I just want to say, you know, we need to open the economy back up. I agree with the last caller. One last thing I wanted to ask of everyone that's listening, please continue to keep us in your prayers. This job is considered a very dangerous job, maybe even more dangerous than police. because we're having to be out here and we deliver things for to everyone. You know, your emergency people in the hospital, the police, they need their fuel. The emergency rooms need their stuff stocked. We're out here keeping America running, and please just continue to keep us in your prayers. We really appreciate it.
We definitely will, Curtis. Thank you for all that you do and for being a worker on the front lines right now. Joel in Ohio, talk to us about what you are doing or what you plan to do to fight back against these unconstitutional infringements.
Yeah, hi, this is Savannah. What I'm doing, where I live in Ohio, we're back to work here. It's 6 days a week, so that's what I'm doing on that take. But I also am a blogger and a vlogger, and I slip InfoWars links under the radar on social media because I'm not banned yet.
I'm sorry, Joel, you're cutting in and out. I would highly recommend calling in tomorrow and maybe talking to us tomorrow about what you wanted to call in about today. I'm sorry, we're just pressed for time and I'm not able to hear you very well. But Frank, we have about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. Give us your final thoughts of the day and any responses to our callers.
You know, Curtis, you're in my prayers. All the truckers are in my prayers. My brother's actually a long haul trucker. So, you know, if the truckers go, we're all in serious trouble. So, you know, all respect and you're in my prayers. And to the other two callers, you know, speaking on the mark of the beast, right now we're in a battle between the spirit of light and the spirit of darkness. And you don't need anyone to tell you. You can feel it in your heart. It's called your gut instinct. You know what is right and is wrong. Okay. And that's all you need. And what you're feeling there is the same God that is in every single one of us. So you're never alone. That spirit of God is running through all of us because we're trapped in a spacesuit. We're spiritually retarded, but God is protecting us through these times. So just trust in that and have faith. And the last thing I want to say is that they have taken us away from nature. And all you need to do is have a cup, some dirt, and a seed. And grow a plant on your windowsill and rediscover the miracle of life that you're creating. And that is a connection that will lead you back to the God of nature. So, you know, I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic because the desperation is so obvious with all their lies. And we have to just keep on fighting every day. And it's an incremental crash of the house of cards of the lies of globalism. That's what we're witnessing right now.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for joining me today for this broadcast. And thank you to everyone who called in today. It was great getting to hear from everyone. And it is inspiring to see that people are getting up and getting active. They're having their voices heard. Now is the time that's so important for us to go outside and to defy what the government is trying to force us to do, because that isn't what America was founded on. It was not founded on big government. It wasn't founded on us being slaves to our president, to our mayors, to our governors. We as Americans have constitutional rights, and we have the right to exercise those. We have the right to be out in nature. We have the right to be out on the beach. So go and exercise those rights. We need to reopen America. And if you're out there protesting, I commend you because you're doing great work and you're the one who's really going to make a change in America in 2020. So thank you to all of our listeners and for everyone who's been out in the streets standing up for their Constitution.